What is up, everybody, and welcome back to the Primal King Podcast. This is episode number 218. All right, so today, I know that we all want to think about how irreplaceable we are, right? Maybe it's ego. Maybe it's just the fact that we've never died, right? Like, we're still here. And so we like to think about, you know, we're always going to be this irreplaceable person. But the reality is that we're all replaceable, other than in one area. And that's what I want to focus on. And over the past couple of weeks, you know, between losing a friend of mine and, you know, a couple other things that happened that I'll get into, it just really makes you realize how replaceable we actually are and actually how freeing that can be when you really think about it. And I'll kind of walk you through that in this episode. Also, you know, I talk all the time before every episode. Again, we don't have a bunch of sponsors on the show or anything like that, but I do push Crosso Meats, right? I ask you guys, go there, go to CrossoMeats.com, go buy you some meat, go buy you some steaks and burgers or whatever. But also, if you're someone who's concerned about not just what you're putting in your mouth and in your body, but also something you're putting on your body, make sure you check out all of our soaps and our salves. You can get the Simple Man soap or the salve. You can get the Mountain Air, the Cowgirl Sunrise. You can even get the good soap, because the reality is that if you look at what you're probably using right now, the stuff from the big, you know, the big corporations, there's probably a bunch of stuff in there that you actually don't want on your skin. So even if you're eating healthy, you might still be getting this stuff through your skin. So go to CrossoMeats.com, check it all out. All right, everybody, let's get started.
So the question is this: how do we live the best life that we can with the limited amount of time that we get to be here? Is it by accumulating success and fame and fortune and everything else that society tells us that we need in order to be fulfilled? Or is it much more simple than that? My name is Derek Wilson. I'm the host of the Primal King Podcast, and we're going to be answering this as well as many other questions as we move forward.
What is up, everybody, and welcome back to another solo episode of the Primal King Podcast. Super excited to have you on board today. You know, it's a very blustery, nasty day here in Idaho. Really, it has been for the last like couple weeks. And got a trip to Vegas for an event coming up here next week. And not gonna lie, I'm not too sad about leaving this place right now, because windy, cold, snowy, yuck. Ugh. Anyways, so there's been a couple of things that have happened in the past couple of weeks that just really kind of reinforced, I guess, some things that I believe to be true. But you know how it goes. Like, you need those reminders. You need those things that happen, maybe, or you witness these things that happen, and it's like, oh yeah, kind of like ton of bricks hitting you in the face again, right? So really, like, what it comes down to is so many of us overthink everything. And I'm 100% including myself in this, to where, you know, this, you overthink, like, maybe it's you overthink that social media post because people might judge you, or you overthink, you know, expressing yourself in a certain way, or having an opinion in a certain way, or, you know, all these different things. Maybe starting a business, or maybe you overthink the fact that you're scared to tell people that you're starting a business because you don't want them to judge you. And, you know, so many of us live so much of our life in fear that it actually steals away so much of our joy, our happiness, our fulfillment. It takes so much of that away from us because we're living in this fear of judgment. We're living in this fear of, what are other people going to say? What are they going to think? What are they going to talk about when I leave the room? And most of us, I would argue, we have some fear around that. I think it's natural, right? Because I really do. I feel like people are, for the most part, a herd animal. We want to be around other people, just like cows are a herd animal, elk are a herd animal, right? Like, they want to be part of the group, part of the community. And if you're not part of the group, or if you feel you're going to be judged or you're going to be ostracized, that actually is a legit fear. And I don't even know that we mean for it to be, right? Like, none of us want to fear those types of things, but it does happen. So how do you get through that? Well, I believe it's perspective. And over the past couple of weeks, I'll give you kind of one personal and then two observational things that have happened. The first one is, and it's just a horrible deal. It's so sad. But basically right after Christmas. So when I very, very first got in, going all the way back, you know, what, 16, 17 years ago now, I think it is at this point. When I first got into kind of the sales, the internet marketing world, there was like five, six people at this company doing the sales when I walked in the door. Maybe seven of them. I don't know, just a handful basically. And one of the guys there who I ended up sitting next to was a guy named Jordan Bills. And Jordan was young, you know, because when I started, I want to say I was like 25-ish, somewhere in there, 24, 25. And I want to say he was like 19, maybe 20. I don't even think he was 21 yet. He was, you know, 5, 6 years younger than me. And just a big, big dude, lovable guy. And, you know, he kind of gave me some grief, I think, because he had been there from the very beginning with, you know, the owner of the company. And, you know, I came in and started doing pretty good. And I think there was, you know, there was a little bit of like, you know, stepping on toes, maybe he felt like, and he kind of gave me some grief. But what's funny is I just kept working. And eventually, like, we ended up becoming very good friends. And even though he was much younger than me, you know, I was the new guy. And so I tried to be respectful of being the new guy. And my answer to being the new guy and maybe getting a little grief or a little hazing or whatever you want to call it was just to work really hard and perform the best that I could and let the chips fall where they would. Well, having said that, Jordan and I ended up becoming pretty good friends. In fact, like, it got to the point to where, you know, maybe just being older and really working hard, I got to the point to where I was actually helping him and kind of teaching him some things. And, you know, by no means would I say that I was like a mentor to him or anything else, but, you know, we were friends. We had a big enough age gap to where, you know, it was almost kind of a little bit more of that, I don't know, elder situation. And so anyways, we became good friends. And for the next couple of years, you know, this is someone who I would see 6 days a week, you know, almost basically, you know, year round. Like, literally, I would see him and the people that I worked with much more than I would see my wife at that point. And even my oldest daughter, when she was born, like, you know, these were the guys that I hung around with. And, you know, we did stuff together, we worked together, all of that type of stuff. You know, these are the guys you tell everything to, right? Because they essentially become family. And so anyways, after I walked away from all of that, you know, still kind of stayed in touch with him, but not a lot. And we did a couple of little side things. We tried to get this multi-level marketing coffee thing going up at one point. And, you know, we just had a lot of fun together. And, you know, just kind of over the years, you lose contact a little bit. I saw him maybe a couple of years ago, and we were at an event together, hung out with him. And then right after Christmas, and I knew that, you know, or he'd kind of had a problem, because we'd worked together again kind of over the years at different points. And he'd kind of had a problem with drinking. And, you know, several years ago now, his mom had died. And then shortly thereafter, his dad would died. He was an only child. And, you know, it hit him really hard. He was basically alone. He didn't, at that point at least, have a girlfriend, a wife. He wasn't married, didn't have kids, had lost both of his parents, only child. And he just got into this really, really, really dark place. At least that's what I can assume. And, you know, he was found shortly right around New Year's. He was found dead. And apparently he had drank himself to death. And, you know, again, like, he's probably, I'm guessing, 34, 35 years old. So not an old guy, right? Like, not even as old as me. And so, you know, I heard about that, and it was horrible, right? Because I think your first thoughts are always like, what could I have done? Should I have checked on him? You know, and I'm sure so many of you know, like, life just goes on, and people come into your life and they're there. And then for whatever reason, you change jobs, you move towns, you whatever, like, you just kind of fall apart. It's not like I didn't want to hang out with Jordan or a bunch of those guys, right? It wasn't like I made the conscious decision to eliminate some of these people from my life, which I know sometimes can also be a good thing. But it was just over the years, we just kind of, you know, fell out of touch, which happens. And so all of those things go through your mind. And then to kind of piggyback on top of that, because, you know, one of the worst things was, is that apparently he had passed away, and, you know, no one found him for apparently like 5 or 6 days. And I think that one of the worst things about hearing, you know, what happened to him wasn't just that he had drank himself to death. It was that, like, you know, what point of life was he at when, you know, literally no one knew that he had passed away for 5 or 6 days until afterwards, right? Like so many of us that have families and you're maybe around people all the time, like that's almost, it's almost hard to believe, right? But if you are maybe alone and you've lost the family members who were close to you and, you know, like, it's like, it makes you kind of understand it. And, you know, you hear the news and it's horrible. It's just like, you know what, what a horrible thing. You know, you feel so bad for him and feel so bad for the situation. And, you know, again, a lot of people put themselves into situations. And then there's also times in life where things happen to you that you have no control over. Like he couldn't control whether his mom and dad both died fairly close together and that he was an only child. And maybe he felt like he had no one to lean on, no one to talk to. And so anyways, like I'm not here to judge why he got there, right? Like I wish somehow, some way he could have got the help that he needed. But then, you know, after he passes away, you realize like it was a bad day and it like still, it bumps me out, but it's like you move on. And now nothing that's even as close to significant, and I promise this is all going to come together, but you know, what was it last week? I think it was within 2 days, we also had two of the best football coaches who have ever coached, right? Who have ever coached, both retire again within like a day of each other. You know, Bill Belichick in the NFL, Nick Saban in college, they both retired like within, I don't even know, like within a day basically. And what's so crazy is that Bill Belichick, and I know a lot of you may not listen to sports, but Bill Belichick had won, I think it was 6 Super Bowl titles in like a 24-year span. Maybe, yeah, I think it was 6. And like that's unheard of, right? Like especially in nowadays in sports and, you know, guys are moving for money and, you know, free agency and all of this and that. And he built a dynasty that will probably never be seen again in the NFL. And then you have Nick Saban in the college football to where he's won 7 national titles, which again, now with like the NIL stuff and people transferring everything, like it'll probably never happen again. So two guys who are at their respective positions, one in college, one in the NFL, two of the best coaches in the history, if not the very, very best coaches in history, both retired. And what's fascinating is that Bill Belichick had his replacement hired within 24 hours. Nick Saban had his replacement within 48 hours. And so why am I telling you all of this? Because when it comes back to some of these things that we struggle with, that we fear, the fear of judgment of what are people going to say if I post this on social media? What are people going to say if I make this decision? What are people going to say if I, you know, think this way when everyone else is thinking that way? Well, the reality is that my friend Jordan passed away and life is going on. When my dad passed away a little over 7 years ago, as hard as it was, life went on. You know, when Nick Saban retires after this insanely successful, you know, this insanely successful career, Bill Belichick retires after this, you know, unmatched success, they're both replaced within 24 and 48 hours. And the reality is that as much as all of us want to overthink all of this stuff, most likely if you were to die today, your job would probably be replaced within a couple of days. If you're really important, maybe a week. If you're super, super important, maybe a month, a couple months. And so when you start understanding this, and I know this might sound morbid, but the reality is when you start kind of comparing things and you start comparing the fact of, okay, if I were to pass away, number one, who would actually miss me? Where am I irreplaceable at? Because I think that's the first thing we should all make a lot of decisions considering. If God forbid, if I were to die, where am I actually irreplaceable? My job? No, they'll figure out something. Right? They'll have some new hotshot coming up that can replace me. Is it my business? Nah, probably not. There's probably people within your business, if it's very big, that could run your business as well, if not better than you. But what about my kids? What about my spouse? So those are the places really where you're going to be irreplaceable. Will they move on? Sure. They'll have to. What option do they have? But you won't be replaceable. And that is something that I think so many of us, we sacrifice so much to, you know, whether it's material stuff or we sacrifice so much with those people who are irreplaceable to accomplish all of these things. And in the meantime, we don't realize what we're actually sacrificing is the time, the energy that ultimately could go to the people who we are irreplaceable to. And then the second thing that I think you can take from this, and again, like just to back up a little bit, you guys know I'm huge on legacy, right? Like that's one of the pillars of the Primal King podcast is what you're going to leave behind when you go. But the reality is so many of us, I feel like we've been convinced by a culture to try to leave behind the things that actually don't matter, right? Like I don't really think that most of our kids are going to care so much if we leave behind a bunch of money with an empty relationship, right? Like, I don't think our kids are really going to care. Like if we leave behind, you know, big houses and fancy cars, if all they ever wanted to do was to just be able to hang out with us. Now that's not to say that you can't make sacrifices or that you shouldn't. Like we all have to, we all can't just sit at home with our kids all day, every day on top of them, 24 hours a day, not at all. But if you find yourself getting a little out of whack on this, if you find yourself trying to pursue material things versus relationships with your own family and the people close to you, it might be time to reconsider. Because again, if you were to die today, how long would it take for you to be replaced at your job? If you were to die today, how long would it be would it take you to be replaced in, you know, maybe your church group or any of these different things, right? Chances are it's probably a day or two, maybe a few days. And so I think that perspective is so important. But then to build onto that in the second layer to this is that if we all know we're going to die at some point, we all know that. Don't know if it's today, next week, next month, next year, 50 years from now, whatever. If we're all going to die and we can all be so easily replaced, why wouldn't we want to play full out? Why wouldn't we want to, you know, put our opinions out there if we feel like they could help people? Why wouldn't we want to, you know, start a podcast, right? Start a business, start whatever it is that you want to do, because we are going to die. And so what's the worst that could happen? Somebody's going to make a snide comment on Facebook. Like guys, we get those all the time on our, like on our CrossFit meets, and we don't even have a very big following. You always get these douches that are out there. They got to have some stupid comment here and there. And as much as like it does, it bothers you. But then you kind of finally, you build this tolerance where it doesn't really bother you anymore. And then you get to the point to where you really just don't care at all. And that is so much more freeing, because now you can actually say what you want to say. You are free to be who you really are. Because at the end of the day, again, we're going to die. So why do I want to live in somebody else's reality? Why do I want to be hostage to what someone might say to me or what someone might think when I'm not around? You know, like the old saying goes, what you think of me is none of my business. And so many of us, it's like we don't put this in perspective. We're trying to hold on so everybody likes us. And yes, like I think we all have that in us. But if we're going to die and we never actually put the things out there that we want to put out there because we're afraid of some person who we'll probably never meet in real life, or maybe some person who you may not even like at all is going to make a snide comment when you're not around, who cares? You're going to die, right? So you might as well have fun while you're here. You might as well do the things you want to do while you're here. You might as well make this life the absolute best life that you can. Because whether it's like my friend Jordan, whether it's like my dad, whether it's, you know, like so many people who have passed away, like life will go on without you. Everything will go on without you. You can be the best coach that's ever existed. You'll be replaced within a day or two. You can, you know, have all these accolades and all these material things. Guess what? None of it matters. You can't take any of it with you when you die. But at the same time, the way that you live is what's going to be vitally important. The way that you live, and maybe the people that you're able to help with the words that you speak because you're unafraid, that is the stuff that will ultimately matter. Maybe you speak, you know, maybe you put out content and you're scared to do it, but it's like, I think I can help people. And maybe four people see it, right? Because that's the other thing. No one even looks at my stuff. No one even cares about my stuff. Well, look at it this way. And I had this explained to me a long time ago because, you know, it is. Sometimes it's frustrating. It's like, I'm not getting the reach. I'm not getting the followers. No one's paying attention. And it's like, you know, if I were to go up there and speak in front of 10 people in a room and say exactly what I want, most people would be petrified of that, right? But if I post something on social media and 10 people engage with it, they like it, they comment, whatever, and they read it, you just did the same thing, right? Like when you think of 10 likes on Facebook, you're like, oh my gosh, no one even saw it. But if I were to have 10 people in a room actually listening to me, now all of a sudden it's like, oh wow, I've got a room full of 10 people listening to me. And what if one of those people or two of those people out of those 10 actually take what you're trying to do and it changes their life? Would it be worth it? Yes. Because at the end of the day, you're going to die. I'm going to die. So our impact on these other people by being our true self, putting out our true opinions, putting out stuff, content, whatever it may be that could truly help people, that's really all we have, right? I mean, at the end of the day, like that's basically what we're going to be able to leave behind. It's going to be your kids, what you teach your kids. They're going to be able to carry that on for the rest of their life. Maybe what you teach the people around you, maybe the goals that you're pursuing, that's going to help people. Maybe that's going to motivate, inspire people. Because again, if you don't do that stuff, yeah, you know what? It's really easy to not talk trash about people who are not doing anything. Because people who sit on their couch and smoke dope all day, yeah, you may not talk trash about them because they literally do not matter. They don't matter at all. But the people out there doing the big stuff, and maybe you're jealous, maybe you have, you know, these thoughts or these opinions on how they could do it better and what they should be doing. Well, the reason why they're in your brain is because they're actually doing it and you're not. That's the thing to remember. And so if you're getting those things, if you're getting those comments, guess why they're coming at you? Because you're actually out there doing it and they're not. Perspective, right? It's so key. Knowing that we're all going to die. We're all going to be replaced. Everyone's going to move on. So we might as well just go out there and crush it as much as we possibly can every day. Live the life that we want to live, the way that we want to live it. Yes, be open to feedback and coaching and all of that type of stuff. Great. But at the end of the day, you got to be true to yourself. You got to speak your truth, and you've got to be able to handle the naysayers, the peanut gallery, whatever you want to call them, because they'll eventually show up. But just remember, they're probably saying that because, just again, another saying that you hear all the time. Most people aren't attacking people who are doing less than them. Most people will not attack you if you're doing less than them, but they will if you're doing more. So keep that in perspective as well. All right, everybody. I hope this sheds a little bit of perspective. If you've been worried about, you know, starting that new business or, you know, going in a different direction than what the rest of, you know, the people around you are doing, if you're making the decision that you want to get fit and everybody wants to try to tear you down and ask you why you're doing that, keep that all in perspective. All right, everybody. Have an awesome day. Have an awesome weekend. Talk to y'all soon.
I absolutely love having you as a listener of the Primal King podcast. If you don't want to miss out on the great content, then it's time to hit that subscribe button right now. Do not be left behind. And then share your thoughts and feedback with a written review of the show. I read every single one of these, and it helps me make sure I am serving you best. It also allows others to find this content, and it builds this community. Make it an awesome day, and we'll see you next time.